Science Radio with Alan Taylor. This segment is powered by Stitcher, smart radio on demand. Download the app today. Visit Stitcher.com.
You're listening to Popular Science Radio from our studios at the Peterson Automotive Museum in Hollywood, California. Here's Alan Taylor.
And, of course, Dr. Kurt Stoskoff. And looking at the issue of the magazine right now, the new dawn of invention. Well, speaking of that, imagine if the weatherman came on one day and said, well, we're going to have cloudy skies today and the slight chance of a 2.0 earthquake at 12:23 in the afternoon. Well, that actually may come true at some point. And to talk more about it is David Nabhan, and he is from Earthquake Prediction. It's a book. It's Earthquake Prediction, Answers in Plain Sight. And, you know, you would think with technology going the way it is, that it should be possible. So maybe, David, welcome to the show. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about this.
Thank you for having me on, Alan, and good afternoon, Dr. Cord.
So tell us about your book.
Well, it's the third book. I've spent the last 16 years taking a look at the dynamics, actually, in Southern California. The dynamics in Southern California led me to come up with an idea by which maybe you can find higher probability times and dates for seismic activity on the West Coast due to something as old as Isaac Newton's science, gravitational tides, the conjoined lunar and solar gravitational tides pulling in tandem at certain times and dates where the fault line, if it is under stress and ready to fail in any event, might be pushed forward on a timetable that we may be able to grasp insofar as a first predictive dynamic.
Well, what kind of methods are you using to do this?
Well, gravitational tides are one of the primal forces in the cosmos. The geysers of Enceladus around Saturn spew liquids and ices over 6 kilometers high. They're powered by the tides. The tallest volcanoes in the solar system, Io, also powered by the Jovian tides. And when you look at Earth, you know, we're not immune from this. There's the monumental pull and push of trillions of tons of seawater around our oceans is daily examples of what kind of power we're talking about. And earthquakes should be considered as candidates to be added to the long list of titanic feats that these forces have the energy to accomplish. So, as it turns out, as I said, the record in Southern California almost screams a connection. If you look at the list of the great quakes that have struck in Southern California and juxtapose it with the celestial, some very simple celestial mechanics, you see an amazing conjoining of the data. So, to answer simply, I looked at the great quakes that struck in Southern California in the 20th century and found a stunning pattern that one is hard-pressed to deny, that gravitational tides are at least ancillary triggering effects due to the conjoined solar and lunar gravitational tides.
So I guess my question is, what are you hoping that listeners can take away from all this with the book that you're learning or that you're helping us to learn more about this with? Get a four-wheel drive vehicle so you can escape when the weatherman comes on and says 2:30 today, there'll be a 7.0. What are we going to learn here?
Well, no, that's a good question. I mean, what I'm hoping is Americans everywhere, and not just in California, in all the 50 states, should ask that this, you know, I've got my website is earthquakepredictors.com, and there's a link straight to the governor's office. There's a body of experts that could be convened to determine yes or no, viable or fallible, insofar as what I've written in my books, and it's the California Earthquake Prediction Evaluation Council. I realize that earthquake prediction, some of your listeners will probably think that that's impossible, and in California, for a whole century, people have said that it was impossible, yet we do have a California Earthquake Prediction Evaluation Council, and I'm asking that they declare whether it's viable, fallible, and as far as, you know, what people could do, you know, perhaps people are scientifically and politically mature enough, especially, you know, in the beginning of the 21st century here, to realize that not everything needs to have an answer that is going to be actually utilitarian. The first thing need be done is to determine whether these dynamics hold water. If there's something that can be done, maybe the civil and governmental and scientific authorities in California would wish to do nothing if it's determined that there's a higher probability for earthquakes during at dawn and at dusk during new and full moons on the West Coast. Maybe there's things that the utility and nuclear regulatory agencies, some little clever tricks they have up their sleeve, or the police and the fire and the EMS could do behind the scenes that would turn an unmitigated catastrophe into a manageable disaster. So nothing's going to stop these earthquakes. What I'm saying is that the greatest weapon that any enemy has is surprise, and if we had a heads up when these earthquakes may be more apt to happen, there's a million things that 10, 15, 20 million people on the West Coast could do individually without a safety czar coming in and foisting some heavy-handed government business on them that might ameliorate and suppress damage and deaths and injuries.
Right now, well,
you know, Alan,
go ahead.
I just wanted to say, you know, because I've lived in Southern California for 55 years, and, you know, we've all been aware of the potential for earthquakes, but because of the, you know, the mantra that everybody's like, well, you just don't know when it's going to happen, all that kind of stuff, I've never really paid attention to it very much because they're not that frequent and all that kind of stuff, a lot more frequent than other areas. But what I love about this is that, you know, so many things in the discovery process that has gone on in the past over the last, you know, thousands of years that we've been able to garnish information, this is simple observation, which is brilliant. First off, because I mean, he's come up with something that is a statistically a very implausible to think this is coincidence, because you apply statistics to reasonable observations. This is Galileo and all the stuff that he did. That's all he did, but he was able to put it together so that we could refine it later and all that kind of stuff. And this is just brilliant observation followed with some reasonable applications of, like he says, some fairly simple mechanics of figuring out what goes on that could make it so that there would be windows where it's no different than when you expect to get hit by lightning. Well, when there's clouds up there and there's lightning bolts going around,
yeah,
it's when you expect to be careful about it.
Don't go play golf.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's helpful information that could make it 1,000 times better than nobody bothers to pay attention to it at all.
Well, the funny part about that is, Cord, is, you know, some things are obvious like that that you would think are obvious, but the guy that got hit that was playing golf by lightning was one of those guys that went, hey, maybe we shouldn't ought to be out here.
Well, and that's the fact that lightning bolts, 99% of the people who get hit on them are on golf courses. That's just the way it is.
Well, the book is called Earthquake Prediction, Answers in Plain Sight. Where can it be found, David?
Oh, it's being sold all over the world. It was the number one best-selling book in seismology in English on Amazon.com a while back.
Nice.
It's only $2. 10 seconds away from your computer if you click on Amazon.
There you go.
You'll probably find it in Governor Brown's fireplace. You know, I know, I'm kidding.
He's in California, see.
Well, you know, Dr. Cord, thank you for those kind words and about the observation. And I'll just say this. The observations, they're pretty cogent observations.
I mean,
going into the past, these names will ring bells with everybody listening in Southern California. If you look at the great quakes that struck between Long Beach in 33 all the way to Northridge in 94, and we're talking about Long Beach, Gorman, Sylmar, Whittier Narrows, Sierra Madre, Northridge, those six quakes are the six quakes that killed every single individual who lives in greater Los Angeles in a 70-mile radius of downtown. 265 people were killed in those earthquakes. Every single human being in Los Angeles during those years killed at dawn or at dusk, and two-thirds of those earthquakes during new and full moons.
Well, what you said was sounded like it killed everybody in Los Angeles, but you're talking about everybody that was killed.
Everyone that was killed. Of the 265 people who were killed by earthquakes in Los Angeles, every single one of them died at dawn or at dusk, and two-thirds of those earthquakes, the six that struck big enough to kill people, two-thirds of them not only took place on the four-hour time window per day as dawn and dusk, but on the thin 36-hour vantage point between a new and full moon. So the odds of that happening are 1 in 10,000, more or less.
Well, there you go.
So you've got something really scary to lean around, Alan. You just don't do it at that time, you know.
There you go. David Navan, thank you very much. The book again, Earthquake Prediction, Answers in Plain Sight. Website one more time, David.
EarthquakePredictors.com.
There you go. For those who live in earthquake-prone areas, very interesting read. All right, David, thank you. I'm Alan Taylor. It's Popular Science.
Thanks for the work. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, gentlemen. My pleasure.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break, come back with more Popular Science Radio. Stay with us.